Hello and welcome to the Chess Boxing Podcast. I'm Tim Woolgar.
And I'm the GBF.
I'm the hippo.
That was much better, that impression.
I know, I've been studying my hippo.
Good. You going to bring that out when you do your next fight?
Well, yeah, when is going to be the next fight?
Well, the next fight that we've got planned, we've just released some dates.
Yes.
It's going to be in October. The 21st day of October.
Tell me more.
It's going to be in my hometown. It's going to, which is Norwich.
In a tall, small village somewhere far away.
No, from town, city.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's kind of like a mud hut type deal, isn't it? With water and everyone goes around on barges.
No, Amsterdam.
Norwich.
That's right. Yeah, it's a medieval city.
Yes.
It's a beautiful city.
No, actually, I've been there and I was surprised at how interesting and funky Norwich is. It's nothing like what you imagine from watching the whole Alan Partridge thing. That's my only real exposure to Norwich up until that point.
Well, about 10 or 15 years ago, it went through a transformation because essentially loads of media type universities... Sorry, am I keeping you up, Tim?
Yeah, that was... when people say about 15 years ago it went through a transformation and then it's going to... I feel like you're launching into a lecture, Gavin.
Well, no, what happened was there's a load of polytechnics got changed to universities, but they're all like media polytechnics.
Right.
So basically now it's full of hipsters who've done their media courses and they've got nothing better to do but hang around looking cool and waiting for the chess boxing to happen in October.
Well, that sounds like an excellent place to put on a chess boxing show then. Yeah, awesome.
And what about the venue, though? The venue's incredible.
Yeah, the Open at Norwich is probably going to be the best ever chess boxing venue.
Yeah, it's...
Although, best ever. I don't want to sound too Donald Trumpish here. It's going to really... We're making chess boxing great again. We've got a fantastic venue. It's really... You know, they're not like that, but no, it's good.
I think that's quite a good tag, though, making chess boxing great again.
Yeah, we should
do that. Well,
that implies
it wasn't good earlier, but, you know, anyway...
We made chess boxing great in the first place and we're keeping it great.
Continuing the greatness.
Yes.
Just to characterise the venue is, I think it was quite similar to the Chelsea Old Town Hall in its construction, like stone construct.
It's a former bank, isn't it? Massive bank building.
It's bigger than Chelsea Old Town Hall and it's been renovated recently. They spent quite a few million renovating it. So it's got state-of-the-art equipment, lighting... Audio is going to be absolutely incredible. It's going to be one of the best shows I think we've ever done.
I think some people could contemplate travelling to Norwich to do it. Although obviously we're mostly hoping to attract a local crowd from Norwich. But it's not that hard to get to Norwich, is it?
Well, it's about 2 hours out of Liverpool Street. But we've already attracted, so I understand from our colleagues at Open, there's 10 people already interested in fighting who are going to be coming to the tryouts.
Yes.
And we've still got 2 weeks until those tryouts. So
awesome.
if we collect 10 people every week,
yes.
We're going to have 30 people wanting to compete in the event. We're going to pick up some really good fighters.
That's really good. Yes, it's going to be an exciting weekend, taking chess boxing on the road, which has been really one of my dreams for a long time. I would like chess boxing to be like this, almost like a circus, where we go out to one night we're in Norwich, then we're in... King's Lynn,
yeah,
and then who knows, we're back in Ipswich. It's a beautiful county. It is a really beautiful
county. A day like today, when it's sunny, you wouldn't want to be anywhere else.
So coming up, we've just completed a chess boxing session.
Yeah.
I didn't have a session last night. There's no reason why I should have slurred my words. And interestingly, our star fighter from Germany/France, it's kind of like half German, half French, Lara. She has met a potential opponent in a girl called Laura, who's
really
also from Germany.
Okay.
And they're almost twin-like, you know, they're very similar height, size, blonde, and both, you know, looking for their first fight. I'm wondering if we can sneak them on the bill there in Norwich.
Have you seen Laura fight then? What's she like? I've seen Laura fight.
I've seen I've seen them train.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen them train. Yeah, Laura's probably a bit better at boxing.
Okay.
But I think Laura probably better at chess, so it's going to be one of those.
It's interesting you should mention that because we're just on Future Radio this morning, which is a local Norwich radio station. They were asking, are there going to be any female combatants?
Yes.
And I said, we do have them. We're looking for them. So perhaps we found them, but perhaps they're going to be coming to Norwich.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. It's so strange to me that there's any number of women that want to box, but it's such a hard task finding women who want to compete in chess. But that is slowly changing. I think I think as the impact of new chess initiatives, chess in schools initiatives, has taken taken hold, we are seeing more and more females in the chess arena, and so that should be the case.
And actually, the females who are part of the chess boxing scene, their chess is excellent. I mean, yeah. I mean, all of them would beat me easily, which isn't saying a lot, but...
Which would beat you, did beat you.
Well, do beat me regularly.
Yeah. Yes, it is absolutely true. I've been thrashed time and again. So, interesting, talking about women in chess, and there's a big debate in the chess world about equality in chess, and would there ever be a woman world champion, and you know, a lot of male chess players are like, no, that could never happen. They feel very conservative about it. But one of the anachronisms, I suppose, about chess is that there are female titles. You know, you can have international master, grandmaster, but you can also have women's international master and women's grandmaster. And I think that there are some people who argue that that in itself needs to change, and that there should just simply be one title for everyone to go for. What do you think?
I think you're right. I mean, I think it comes down to whether you think that having an extra chromosome means you're less likely to be good at chess. But logically, I can't see how that can be the case. I think...
An extra what-a-zone?
Chromosome.
Well, how's that? Have I got an extra chromosome?
So women have more chromosomes than men.
Do they?
Yes.
What's a chromosome?
A chromosome is like a unit of genetic code, or a part of your genes, basically. Your genes are made up of chromosomes.
Right.
And women have more chromosomes.
Your genes are made up of chromosomes? Have you studied this closely?
I've done GCSE biology. I don't know if you've done that.
So, but your genes are made of chromosomes, huh?
No, it's like a collection of...
Anyway, what you're saying is, let's not get bogged down in GCSE biology.
On the chromosomes, this is why men are more susceptible to things like dyslexia. Because they're genetic, and because there's one chromosome which isn't paired. So if you've got a genetic problem, it's okay if you've got two chromosomes, because the other ones can take over.
Oh, okay.
But if you don't have one, if you're a man, and the genetic problem is on that particular pair of chromosomes,
all right,
then that manifests itself.
Okay.
So if anything, they're probably going to be better.
Are we talking about XY?
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
Yeah. That's what that means.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, it's very hard to argue that there shouldn't just be one title, really. I mean, I imagine the women and men will both want that. We want equality, don't we? I think boxing is different. I mean...
No, but there's no titles in boxing apart from world champion, is there? Or European champion.
You don't have cross-gender fights, though, do you?
No, that's true, and it'd be hard to imagine that actually ever happening, yeah.
Exactly. Anyway, we've got the second half of the Toby interview. We can have a listen to that.
Looking forward to hearing more from our friend Toby.
And we rejoin the interview with Toby, talking about how he opened the chess round against Jonathan Arnott.
The chess, I think the chess went quite well. My opening was pretty bad, because I did Italian open or something, just like automatic. And then he did French defense, which is annoying because that's what Tim always does. So I should know better than, I should be able to recognize quickly. And I kind of just like moved the bishop out, and basically it's like walking straight up to the jab. It's like he moved that pawn up and then got it back off straight away pretty much.
I don't know if you heard the commentator when he used the French defense. There's quite a lot of banter about him being UKIP and
I watched it back. So I've heard some of Malcolm's commentary. It's always good to him to be commentating.
Yeah, Malcolm's always excellent, isn't he? So then we were going on to the boxing round, and within a few moments, I mean, not just you, but I think everybody kind of realised that perhaps Jonathan's punch resistance or his experience in sparring perhaps wasn't there. And
yeah,
it was almost, how would you describe what happened?
It was almost disappointing because, you know, I trained really hard for a good fight, and I'd seen him do a couple of CD things where he had been throwing some punches, and I was kind of like, oh. And then for a while, like, he kind of had his back turned to me almost. And I was like, your responsibility is to face your opponent, and your opponent's not supposed to punch you in the back of the head. That's the kind of how boxing works. But so you could see, like, early on, there's a bit of hesitation. After a while, I just started hitting him, basically. I mean, I knew I had to put him out. After the second time he goes down, he then just ran at me. And I just go, okay, I'll put one in the body. and then give him an easy down, and then he got back up again. So I hit him again, and he went down. Yeah,
I thought it was interesting. I mean, because we talk a lot about situations where the one of the players is much weaker at chess. So, and often it doesn't happen, but what you should do is play defensively and play slowly. And not dissimilar to what you...
He's a mid-time.
And you would have thought, Jonathan, given his lack of experience in boxing, that he would have worked on, you know...
being defensive in boxing.
Being defensive in boxing, moving well, a bit punch resistance, using a jab to keep you at arm's length. And given the quality of his coaching, I thought that was a little bit...
I think people enjoyed watching it. I think a lot of people got what they wanted to see. Home crowd and stuff like that. I think, so you see a lot of the other fights on the night, and often, like chess dominates. The inevitable end of a game is chess clock runs out and someone wins by chess. And in the meantime, you have to, earn the right to win the chess by surviving at least the boxing. And you saw that in two previous fights, not close. Cameron's won. He got a lot of praise from people I know who went to go and see that fight. That was him. He had blooded up, but he survived and then won on the chess. And I was expecting it to go a bit more that way.
Yeah, I mean, I think my emotions swang from initial kind of shock because I didn't really expect it to be that one-sided, the boxing. And then it kind of went to, oh, this is a bit strange because obviously when you see boxers in a ring, you're used to a certain stance and a certain behaviour and a certain movement, you know, and boxing, people tend to circle in the same way and it was his...
Side his arms, kind of jab.
Exactly, and he was, like you're saying, he had his back turned to you on occasion and he was moving quite strangely. And then kind of when he went down... The first time, the second time, I thought, oh, I think maybe you should just stay down. And then the last time, he kind of ran at you, as you're saying, as a body punch, and he sat down, and he kind of had his legs crossed, and he kind of had his head in his hands. And I just felt for the guy. I just thought, I don't know, what a picture. And in fairness to him, he picked himself up, and even when Tim asked him to come and have a little character and everything, he, I mean, maybe that's what politicians are able to do because they've got such experience of having a thick skin and just, you know, presenting themselves as best they can. And that's what he did. So, you know, whatever you say about that particular fight, it was quite a spectacle in that it was quite strange and it had that political dimension. But I did feel for you as much as I felt for him because you'd obviously trained a lot. And
you sacrifice a lot to train.
You do. It's
a lot of time and effort.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's a lot of miscommitments and social activities and stuff like that. No drinking.
Yeah.
All those things. Yeah. Anna.
Well, I think Jonathan has expressed an interest to come back later today in another event, but I imagine that he'll be looking to improve on his
that's good
punch resistance and training, so which is good. What about yourself? Have you got any thoughts about what you'd like to?
I'd happily come back. Yeah. No, I'm glad Jonathan will come back because he can definitely sit. He can easily sit back in his chair and just get through a boxing round, and he'll have that experience.
Yeah, I think so. I think we definitely like to see him back in the ring after some intensive training. Is there anything else you'd like to say on the podcast, you know, about the event or you know, your sort of final thoughts on?
No, other than that it was really well received. I mean, I a lot of people came down to watch you fight, and they all left loving it, really pumped up, really enjoyed it. Everyone's telling me to fight again. You know, even my parents, who were kind of a bit worried about me boxing. They were suddenly my biggest fans. I think it was a great show, a really, really good show. Yeah, not just saying that because I was in it.
You had your own fan club, didn't you?
I had my brother in my corner, which was brilliant because he's always been the angry sibling. So I had him in there just to get me focused, get me channeling the inner rage, which was good. So it was great to be able to have that kind of experience of fighting and sharing that with friends and family. So yeah, no, I really loved the experience. They all loved it. It was a great show, and I think you've got some more chess boxing fans. And if you keep bringing on shows like that, it'll be awesome.
Okay, thanks a lot, Toby. Thanks for your time. I know it's been difficult for you to get the phone, and apologies again for the quality of the call, but hopefully you could hear everything that we were discussing. And get your tickets to londonchessboxing.com. And Toby, I will see you later.
Cool. Take care.
Okay. Thanks very much, Toby.
Bye.
Wow. I apologise for the sound quality of that interview on behalf of Gavin.
Well, it was, yeah, we did what we could. Like I said, he was on a stag do. I think we were lucky he was still, you know, coherent. It was at the beginning of the stag do. Right. And we did what we could.
Anything else we can discuss at this point in time?
Well, there's a few things. Just some farm news. We've planted a truffle orchard.
Oh, yeah, I heard about this. You mentioned it before, the truffle orchard. I'm really looking forward to waiting 12 years and seeing if anything comes up or if you've been completely scammed.
Yeah, so at the moment, me and my brothers are thinking either this could be a massive money spin or we've just been scammed. And by the time, so it takes 5 years for the fungus to mature.
Yeah.
By the time that matures, these guys will probably be in Barbados, you know, they're probably...
Barbados, yeah. No, I'm sure that I'm absolutely convinced that it's a good deal. I love truffles. You gotta look after them. Truffles are great. Yeah. Let's make truffles great again.
Let's make truffles great again. And just while we're on farm news as well, we're also pushing forward a program to bring sugar beet rum to the UK.
Yes.
Grow sugar beet on the farm. We're applying for some grant aid to get the equipment to basically brew and then distill sugar beet rum.
Who's going to be responsible for the brewing and distilling? Because, you know, that's the kind of job I'd see myself doing.
Well, it'd be probably somebody who is responsible. I think that probably rules you out, doesn't it?
No, I could definitely do it. I know exactly what's required.
I think maybe the marketing side I'd be happy for you to take on, but
I saw
it's all about cleanliness and it's all about
I saw this
timing.
Film called Moonshine back in the day. I'm pretty sure Burt Reynolds was in it, and they made loads of moonshine. All you need is a shack in the woods and some fires.
This is exactly why you're not going to be in charge, because it's all about cleanliness, timing, measuring out everything exactly. You want exactly the same taste every single time, don't you?
So you can, not necessarily.
Yeah, because you're creating a brand, and that brand has got to be a certain taste.
That's true. Yeah. Are you going to go with my idea for the branding?
I don't think so.
God, thanks.
What was your idea? Is that some Chinese
female Chinese pirate? Yeah.
I don't dislike it, but I don't know.
Because it's modern. It's a pirate. Pirates, you know, associated with rum.
Well, no, pirates are Somalian these days. They're not from China. They're not women.
Captain Morgan's not a salami.
And that's the other thing, it's already been done as well.
Salami pirates. Give me all your mozzarella.
Or maybe a pepperami pirate.
Yeah.
That'd be good. No, so I think it's been done, Tim. I think you need to go back to the drawing board with that one.
Okay.
Maybe the next podcast.
Okay, I'll come up with a brand for your rum for the next podcast.
Okay, so...
Although I did see an interesting new brand the other day. Well, it's new to me anyway, which was... it's called No Logo.
Oh. Oh, my God. I'm not sure how I feel about that.
No Logo Lager, No Logo Beer, and it's got No Logo, and it's just called No Logo. So obviously they were brainstorming it one day. I thought, what is our logo going to be? Every good logo has been done. We've been down this road before. It's so hard to get a logo. It's a good logo.
But logos have a purpose, though.
And a logo isn't a cliche.
But logos have a purpose, though, don't they?
Well, you know, I kind of thought it was quite good.
Because then you can identify a product or a brand.
No Logo Lager.
Does it taste good? I bet it tastes awful.
I didn't buy any, no, I just stuck to the wine.
It reminds me of Tesco's own brand, you know, with like the blue stripes. That's what it sounds like.
That's a good lager.
It's not a good lager.
That, and I think probably the cheapest lager I ever drank was Lidl's own brand. It's literally 3%.
Is this when you were homeless, is it?
Well, listen, you know, we don't all ride high on the hog all of our lives. You know, some of the times we have ups and downs, and you're drinking, you know, it's not Red Bull and Smirnoff. It's
I wouldn't drink that either.
Sitting Bull and Rachmaninoff.
At university, we used to drink this stuff called Red Rooster. It was basically like Red Bull, but it had five times the amount of caffeine in it. It was absolutely horrific. So
was that meant to be a leisure drink or a medicine?
I don't know. I think you just instead of having Red Bull, you'd have this because it was cheaper and there was more caffeine in it.
Uh-huh.
And you'd be awake for like 4 days.
Talking of caffeine, I haven't had my morning cup of coffee. So what do you say we draw a close to events right now and come back with more information next time about the next show? Norwich, watch our Facebook page for more information.
Yep.